All right, if you guys are just joining us, if you haven't been here for the last month, essentially we're just taking a swim through the book of Jonah, right? Okay, let's start over. No, I'm kidding. That was all right. So Jonah was a prophet. It's four chapters long. Jonah was a prophet. He was a religious man. And in Jonah chapter 1, God comes to Jonah and asks him to go to evangelize and go minister to a group of people that Jonah does not like. This group of people that God asked Jonah to evangelize to was a group outside of the nation of Israel. In fact, they were just bad people. This was a mighty, big, bad, cruel, evil city called Nineveh. And Jonah was not into it. And he says, no, God, not going to do it. And we find out that the reason for Jonah's no was not because what he thought what God was asking him to do was irrational. It was because Jonah was actually a self-righteous dude. This guy thought that he was God's chosen, which in reality he was. When we all get into the kingdom of God, we are sons and daughters of the living God. We are chosen. But Jonah kind of took it a step further. He got his pride involved, and it kind of created this self-righteous attitude, and that was kind of his identity, and he kind of just felt like he was better than everyone else. So he says, I'm out, God. I'm not going to share about your love and mercy with this group outside of the nation of Israel. And Jonah in chapter 1 just doesn't run away from God like how you or I would run away from God. How we would do it is we would just kind of distract ourselves. We just kind of like do something else. Act like we never heard anything. Jonah actually runs. Jonah actually gets in a boat. Actually, here's a map right here. This is simple geography, you guys. You see Joppa? You see Nineveh? Jonah goes to Spain. All right? He's on his way to Spain. Not even remotely in the same direction as God's goal. And so he gets in a boat and he takes off. And in that boat, he finds God. And God's mercy chases Jonah down, sends a storm. Jonah ends up getting chucked over the side of the boat into the Mediterranean Sea. And God appoints a fish that swallows Jonah. So Jonah's inside this fish now. The belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights, kept alive by the God of the universe. And while he's inside the fish, some really significant things happen in Jonah. And we see in chapter 2 that we got to see while Jonah was inside that belly of the whale, he went from having this religious, self-righteous, I'm better than you, hardened, pious heart to this, I don't know, gospel transformed, softened heart. That's what a fish can do. And so some significant things happen while he's in the belly of the whale. And we see that. It was our life point today. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, Jonah says this, "But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." This is what I believe Jonah was doing in the whale. I believe all Jonah had to do was just remind himself of how he found his way back to God. I think Jonah just had to preach to himself the gospel. Just review it. Just kind of like get the juice flowing of the good news in his heart. And then all of a sudden we see genuine heart change. I think this is a great exercise for us. Are you reminding yourself of your story, of how you found your way back to God? We have a term in our house that we use, my wife and I use. Are you game ready? Are you game ready for this? Are you game ready for that? Like, we gotta be one step ahead. Are you game ready to share your story? Do you even know what the gospel is? Are you gonna be able to pull it out of your back pocket when someone needs that hope and that love in their life and that freedom? Well, Jonah was doing this. we have a life group here that frequently practices this thing. Someone will just volunteer and be like, I'm going to share the gospel today. And they just kind of like rotate, and they just make sure that they're game ready. They're sharpened. I think that is just so cool. Are you guys game ready? And when the gospel drops in Jonah, when he got it, when he got that he was saved by grace and grace alone, it changed everything for Jonah. And we've been able to see what it looks like when the gospel not only sits up here, but it kind of just drops into the heart and then just spreads out. Because we just see like just a massive heart transformation in Jonah. And then in the next verse, Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. The fish vomited Jonah back up. And what it's essentially saying right here is that Jonah got that he was saved by grace and grace alone. And once he got that, the gospel fell, his faith arose, and he was born again. Resurrected onto dry land. And so here's what we're going to pick up this morning, right in this verse. This is an important verse. We can't really breeze by this verse before we get into our lesson in chapter 3, because this is crucial. Jonah is in the belly of the fish. God's grace is made real to him, and this is what happens. The Lord spoke to the fish. It vomited Jonah upon the dry land. This is crucial. We throw a lot of terms out here behind this table, terms like missional living, living on mission. You won't find those terms in the Bible. But they're great terms, because essentially what it means is just evangelism, living a life of evangelism. And the truth is that the beginning of mission for Jonah's life and the beginning of mission for our life is our resurrection. That's why this verse is so important. Your mission, your discipleship is rooted in your resurrection. Without your resurrection, what are you going to do? There's no power. There's no mission. Your moment of salvation, your resurrection, springboards you into this life of discipleship. When you said yes to Jesus, for those of us who said yes and chose to follow him, for me, that was such an easy choice to make. But it was essential, because now God is calling me to do great things. Now God is calling me to change the world. But that point when I said yes to Jesus was just a moment of my life. Now my life on mission is going to take my whole life. My resurrection moment was momentary. My discipleship is my whole life. Between my salvation and my physical death on this earth is me living on mission. And you too. You guys following me? Let me put it this way. Let's be real. Making babies is really easy. But raising children has its challenges. My salvation, my resurrection moment was such an easy decision. But after that, my life did not get easier. Now I'm called to change the world. Now I'm called to share the gospel, the good news, to evangelize. And it's going to have its challenges. Another analogy. It's really easy to come here to church every Sunday morning and love one another religiously. Put on that face and say good morning to everyone you talk to. It's another thing to invite that couple over for dinner at your house. Now it's getting really quiet. I'm just going to move on. My point is that living on mission is going to be hard. And I pray that some of you hear this. We just had people get baptized, 11 people get baptized like a month ago. I just want you to know that you are called to do something great. Jonah was called out of the belly of the whale to go to the meanest, baddest, most cruel, evil city and preach repentance. Life didn't get easier for Jonah, and it may not for you. But we're called to be alive in Christ. To draw near to him so he can draw near to us. He gives us power to change the world. The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. And now that Jonah has essentially died to himself and been resurrected, he's ready to share the gospel with the Ninevites. Jonah lives again so he can be restored to his mission again. And do you realize Jesus talked about this very moment? Jonah was the only prophet Jesus talked about. And Jesus references this very exact moment right here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Jesus says, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The series title of this whole, it's the Gospel According to Jonah. And you know what? The Gospel According to Jonah, it points us directly to Jesus. That's why this book is so crucial for us to know. If we know the stories of both Jonah and Jesus, we can immediately see the similarities. The raging sea and the cross are both places of desperation and death. The fish and the tomb are a step along the way toward life after death. And in both cases, God is the one responsible for new life. He tells the fish to deposit Jonah back on the dry land in Jonah chapter 2. And he tells the earth, or he just, basically what he does is God exerts his great power to raise Jesus from the dead. And we actually see that in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul reminds us of that. The gospel according to Jonah points us directly to Jesus. And this matters because Jesus is our perfect Savior, a Savior who willingly died for our sins. And again, he was raised from the dead by God into unimaginable and eternal splendor. And in this book, we see God's love for a city that does not love him back. In this book, we see God's care for a people that could care less about God. They don't believe the scriptures. These guys are nasty people. Nineveh would just take down every city around them. They would not only do that, but they would like torture men, women, and children and just like do nasty things. And they were enemies with Israel. But God had grace on the city of Nineveh. And it wasn't until Jonah preached the gospel to himself, then he was ready to go preach the gospel to a city. Remind yourself how you found your way back to God. Get your story familiar, because you'll need it. Then in chapter 3, I'm going to start preaching now. Then in chapter 3, verse 1, here we go. After Jonah's been resurrected, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." Okay, now, so if we remember from chapter 1 to chapter 3, there's a big similarity right here. God tells Jonah basically the same thing. Arise and go to that great city. But in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "For their evil has risen up, their evil has come up against me, and I need you to go to that city and preach repentance." This time, after Jonah's out of the fish, after his resurrection moment, God basically says, "Hey, you know what to do. You just need to go. Just go. No more Spain. Go to where I need you to go. You already know. You already know." And check it out. When you get there, you'll know what to say. You'll know what to do. "I just need you to go." And Jonah's heart is so transformed that he says, "Yes, I'm going to go." You know, there's several times in the Bible where Jesus or God will say, "Just go. Don't worry about what to say. Don't worry about what to do. I just need you to be obedient. Take that step. Get out of your comfort zone and go. And when you get there, you'll be all right." Jesus, in Luke chapter 21, verse 15, he says, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict." Jesus says again, Luke 12:12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. We're going to be all right. And Jonah has had his heart so transformed that he says, yes, I'm going to go. So God says, go to that great city, which, by the way, is still a big, bad, evil, cruel, nasty city. And it's still an irrational thing for God to ask Jonah to do in man's eyes, but definitely not in God's eyes. He knows what's up. He knows what's going to happen. So we keep reading, Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Now let me give you some specs on Nineveh really quick. Nineveh is 60 miles in circumference. It's a large city. They say that back in Jonah's time there could have been 2 million people in that city. The walls around the city were 100 feet high, and they were so thick that you could actually take 3 chariots, line them up side by side, and they could actually like run along the wall. That's how thick the walls were. This was a mighty, mighty city. That's how big, how high, how wide these walls were. That's how massive this city was. And so I just want to reiterate, God is asking Jonah to do something wild after Resurrection Day. It may seem extreme, but that's what discipleship is. That's what it really should be. Repentance is it should be this idea of desperation. And then God, what are you calling me to do next? Sometimes that can get extreme. But he says, Jonah, I want you to go to this city who kills the Israelite people, savagely kills the neighboring countries around. It's an unfriendly city, but this is where God sent Jonah. And so Jonah had to die to himself. And once Jonah died to himself, and he gets him now, he just gets it, life didn't get grander for him. And again, it's important that we know that. He sends him on mission to the very hardest to reach place in the entire universe at that time. And I pray that some of you guys get this. It's so easy for me to be back here behind this table and to preach the love and the grace and the hope found in Jesus. And I hope I do, because that is a massive portion of the gospel. But I want to keep you guys. I want, like, whatever I say, I want you guys to come back next week. When I read Jesus in the Gospels and his teachings, I see him asking things like, are you guys sure you want to be here? Are you guys sure you're ready to follow me? Because it may cost you your life. I'm going to pick up my cross, so I need you to pick up yours. I need you to die daily. And there's just so much to that. And it's important to know that you guys may be in it. You guys may have tragedy and suffering. Man, do not lose heart. Jesus has overcome the world. I believe with all my heart that he's going to raise you up and make you stronger. I believe that with all my heart. That is the promise that he gives us. Your life may not be easy, but you're called to do great things. And he's going to be with you every step of the way. And this is what's happening in Jonah's life right now. And so he goes into the great city. And in verse 4, it says, Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So not only does Jonah go into that city, but he goes into that city hot, preaching repentance to this city that really doesn't want to hear repentance. And Nineveh at that time had a religion. It had nothing to do with the one true God. So they were a religious community, which could even be more of a challenge. It wasn't even a bunch of atheists up in here. They believed in a God. But Jonah was like, I serve the one true God. You guys are missing this. This is the real God that I serve, and he has grace and mercy to offer you if you only turn from your wicked ways and repent and turn to him. Jonah's evangelizing. This is missional living. This is living a life on mission. He's walking into the city. He's sharing the gospel. He's sharing the gospel. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but the gospel is not a religious word. It's a Greek word that they would use back in the day when two Greek city-states would get together and they would go to war. They would fight each other. So let's take Athens, for example. Let's take Sparta, for example. Let's say Athens and Sparta are fighting. And whoever would win, that city would take a messenger back to the city and share the news. So if Sparta went off to war and they were away and Sparta won the war, which they did because there was a lot of bad dudes in Sparta, mighty warriors, let's say they won the war, they would send a messenger. And the word messenger is actually where we get our word for angel. It's the same word in the Greek. So they would send a messenger, and you know what the messenger would take back to that city? Good news. The gospel. The victory. These messengers would carry the gospel back to whoever had won the victory, and they would share the gospel with the entire city. And Jonah just walked into this city, and not with a whisper, not with a cute little conversation, but he walked into the middle of a city and he began evangelizing, repent, because there's a holy God that might have grace on you if you repent. He didn't just walk in with a whisper. He didn't just have a casual conversation, which is my style. Casual conversations all up in here. I will have a casual conversation with you, and I will look for the opportunity to share the hope I have found in Jesus. But no, Jonah didn't walk up in there and be like, hey, dude, I know I smell like fish. I know I'm sticky. But you would not believe what happened. Big storm got thrown off. Big old fish. Oh, man, it was hard to breathe. But I was in there for 3 days, and then the fish just spit me out. And now this is what I have to tell you. This is how I found my way back to God. I have to share. No, he didn't even do that. He just probably, I don't know what he did, but the word says that he preached to the city repentance. And then listen to this. Listen to how the people respond. Verse 5. And the people of Nineveh believed God. So as Jonah was faithful to evangelize, you know what happened? Salvation happened. And it wasn't actually salvation, it was revival. That whole city changed because of Jonah's faithfulness. Our role, my friends, is to not decide who is saved and who is not. Bible says that God opens the eyes of blind hearts. It is not our role to decide who is saved or not. Our role is to simply evangelize. It's to simply share the gospel, share the victory. And you never know what's going to happen when you share the gospel. We've adopted this lifestyle here called BLESS. If you've been around here for a while, you've heard of it. It's this acronym that we've adopted into our life. It kind of gives us this step-by-step process of how to find community with those who may not have hope in Jesus and just love them, value them, and then maybe find an opportunity to actually share your story. So it's this acronym. We start with the B, and it's begin with prayer. When I start with the B, I immediately ask for someone to be put on my heart. God, who do you have? who's ready to hear the gospel? Or man, who's just really down and out and I can just love them? I can have them over. Who is it? And then give me the right words to say. And then we have the L. We don't talk. We listen. We hear their story. And we listen some more. And we get to know them. And then we eat. Now, you don't have to eat, but there's something really cool about eating with someone, communing with someone. It's kind of an intimate thing. You can go have coffee with someone, I don't care. But you're actually face-to-face with them, and that's just another level of just showing value to that person, right? And then we serve them, we continue to love them, to get outside of our comfort zone, and to bless them, build trust, build relationship. And then the second S, we share our story of how you found your way back to God. You share your story of how you found hope in Jesus and how it dramatically changed your heart. And you share your story about your resurrection day. This is what we've adopted here. This is what we're going to be doing. And, you know, there is an expectation if you find yourself to be an attender here at this church. Like, this is where we're going, and we need you on board with this. That's why we are here. The church is the hope of the world. And so, we're just very, very purposed about this. So, this ungodly city of people, Nineveh, they were immoral, they were violent, and Jonah goes in and shares the gospel, and they believe. They say, absolutely, we believe it. And listen to how they believe. This is how we know Nineveh believed it. Because true belief is always followed by true repentance. So they're wounded at the heart, right? And what happens when they're given a heart wound is some things outwardly begin to happen because they believed inwardly. And listen to what happens in verse 5. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh. The king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Now the symbol of sackcloth and ashes is kind of this like symbol of mourning. They would do this a lot. You would either mourn or you would repent. Now I don't know how much you guys know about men. I happen to be one. I happen to be male in gender. And I know that if I'm giving a little bit of authority, I'm kind of bent in a way to where I can like let my pride get in and kind of like really use that authority to my advantage and really take advantage of that. And I see this king right here with all this authority. He probably wasn't the king of Assyria back then, but he probably was like on the board of Assyria, okay? But he was the king of Nineveh, ton of authority. And look how he responds. He just says, yeah, I believe. Like, this is a straight-up miracle. The king of this nation, basically word gets out that there's this sticky, smelly, squirrely dude in the middle of our city preaching this thing about the one true God. The word gets out to the king, and he's like, yeah, I believe. And he doesn't just believe, like, okay, let me sign the prayer card. I think I should try this out. No, he believes. And the king rips off his robes and sits in ashes. Like, this is supernatural what's happening right here. This is like if someone in 1942 rode up into Munich, Germany, preached repentance, and we see Hitler just like rip off his uniform and sit in ashes. Like, this is how it was. This is supernatural stuff. And then don't miss how profound this is. We continue to read. And he issued a proclamation, the king, this is, and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. And I think this is a fair question to ask. Why the cows? Like, do the cows really know that they're being judged by a holy God? Come on, king. It's like, do horses really know that they're racing each other at the Kentucky Derby? we may think that they know that they're racing, but do they really know? I don't know. Do cows know? Like, why are we depriving? We don't want to get PETA involved here. Why can't the cows eat, King? But this is why. Because the king said, this changes everything. He's pulling out all the stops. And this is extreme. And have you done anything extreme after God? We live in a culture where we're comfortable and we rarely do anything extreme. But really, again, that's a big part of repentance. That's a big part of our desperation. It should be an extreme response. Are we fasting? You know, Jesus says, not if you fast, he says, when you fast. That's in his teachings. When? Like, it's just expected of us to practice that habit of fasting and growing closer to the Lord. We aren't going to lay on the ground in ashes, but should we? Should we be sitting in ashes? I don't know. I just think repentance is much more than just cleaning up your act. But right here, the king says, no one eats, not even the beasts. We want to do everything within our power to humble ourselves before a holy God, a righteous God. And if that means not feeding our animals, then so be it. And this is how you know that the gospel of Jonah has penetrated and pierced the hearts of these people. And next week, we're going to dive into a little bit more about repentance. Because is your inward coming out? If there has truly been an inward change in your life, are people seeing evidence of that? See, Jonah is keeping with repentance on the outside. That's what he's doing. He's keeping with it. And if we're not seeing evidence, then really what's going on the inside of your heart? I have a buddy in the bar. A lot of buddies in the bars. But he said something very profound to me one day. And he said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. So, I could preach on that. But I think something inwardly needs to change in our hearts. Because they want to see the outward. They want to see us keeping with repentance. They want to see our sermon. They want to see our story. He also said, I'd rather one walk with me rather than merely point the way. Okay? So walk with them. That's why we bless people. That's why we've adopted this lifestyle. We're so serious about this. Jonah's serious, and so we're going to get serious. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? We're going to close out. If you need prayer for anything, any healing, or maybe just God's doing something in your heart this morning, and you really just want to solidify that with prayer and have people pray with you, we're going to have prayer teams over here on this side. If you are not connected here, we believe that this church is far more than just showing up on a Sunday morning. There's really no connection. It's just kind of like going to a movie on Sunday morning, right? We're just kind of sitting together, but we grow together in relationship through life groups. And if you want to join a life group or have questions about it, Pastor Marcus is going to be over there. And if you are a guest with us, first-time visitor, man, we're so glad you're here. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. We just have a gift for you after service right at the Welcome Center, just to say thank you for stopping by. Let's pray. God, I pray that we wouldn't merely just be hearers of your word, but that we would be doers. God, I pray that if we have hardened hearts, that you would reveal to us the truth, that you would reveal to us your love, your hope, and just what you have that is better than our life right now. And God, we want what you have. We want to walk in power. We want to become alive in you. We want to change the world. And so you would help us to get out of our comfort zones and to take that next step, living on mission, evangelizing, sharing the gospel, sharing the victory we have found in you, God. We want to take that next step this morning. We love you. Give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen. All right, you're free to take off. We'll see you next time.